This episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers. They're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, Stackers, becoming a member at Navy Federal Credit Union could help you earn more and save more. Their certificate options could earn you more than your standard savings accounts with competitive rates. Not all financial institutions offer you as many choices for savings options as Navy Federal does. For example, you could start your savings journey with a low minimum deposit, add money at any time, and watch your savings grow. Thanks to flexible terms, you can use Navy Federal's savings options for all kinds of goals, short or long term. Considering a big home improvement project? Maybe you want to consolidate debt? You could borrow up to 100% of your home's equity, with a fixed rate home equity loan with zero closing costs, or easily borrow as you go with a home equity line of credit. Both options could help make life's big expenses seem more manageable. To learn more, visit NavyFederal.org. At Navy Federal, our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. Membership required. Terms and conditions apply. Loans subject to approval.
I guess you should have called.
I did call earlier when using the phone.
Earlier, when was that?
Later, when then I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
249-5678.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Don't. Not here. Not now.
Live from Joe's mom's basement, it's the Stacking Benjamin Show. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and in our headlines, millions are owed tax refunds from 2020. Is that you? You're running out of time to claim it. We're diving into best uses for tax refunds, windfalls, and found money on today's show. Plus, some horror stories of what not to do if you hit a jackpot, score a bonus, claim an estate, or are owed a refund. And in our TikTok minute, you know what? You're just going to have to hear this one to believe it. Plus, we'll hear why Stacker Nick said, you know what? I'd better call Saul. See hi and OG. And of course, I'll hit you up with some contractual trivia. And now, two guys who hit it out of the park every episode. Well, that's debatable. It's Joe and OJJJG.
Oh, come on, Doug. At least a solid double. You got to give us a solid double.
I'll give you solid doubles.
But ground rule double.
Sometimes it's because the left fielder bobbles it.
So. Reached on error. As the guy who scores baseball for our varsity baseball team, I can assure you some of them are reached on error.
Oh, yeah.
You know, no hits, five runs.
Right. The number of legit hits in high school baseball is pretty low.
It's a little lower than the kids think. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Did your kids have this when they first played Little League, had what they called the anti-merry-go-round rule?
Oh, yeah.
The anti-merry-go-round rule was none of the kids can field. None of the kids can throw, so you weren't allowed to take an extra base when there was an overthrow or an error. And just to make sure that you didn't have this inning that never ended.
They had to implement or re-clarify that rule in the little league that I coached in, because as long as that ball was moving, kids were running. So we just kept
neighbor
on
Doug
running
was running it up.
Oh, yeah. We're winning games like 28-2.
You were that coach. Yeah.
Nice. Well, it was in the book. Like, as long as the ball is moving. Yeah. I mean, if it was an overthrow and it went OB, then yeah, dead ball, one base. But, and so I was used to tell my teams, the team that throws it the most will lose. I guarantee it. And it's true at every level of baseball.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to How to Be That Parent podcast. I'm Joe Salcy. I
knew I was going to take a hit.
Average
for that.
Joe Money on X. We are so happy you're here. You found us. Sit back, relax, because we're going to talk about today, OG, a problem that a lot of people have. And that is that we have this time of year. It comes up every year. I wait and I wait and I wait for the fantastic tax refund check so I can blow it again. And we don't want to do that this year.
No. All right.
Hold on. This is not going in the direction I thought it was going in.
It's not even a double, Doug. That wasn't even
the end of the world if you do. It's kind of fun, right? Spending money's cool.
You can burn one once in a while.
Yeah.
So I think that not only is there kind of an order of operations about how to think about this, obviously, and so does OG, I also think that this is a great time for you. If things haven't been going right for you and it's your first time listening to a financial podcast, you know what? We're going to help you settle up and get this thing moving. But before that, we have a couple sponsors for this show that help make it free. So stick with us for just a couple minutes and we're going to get this party started. This episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey there, everybody. Want to give a shout out to all of our service members and their families for keeping us safe, both here and abroad. And thank you so much to the family members who hold the fort down. Thank you for keeping us safe here in America and all of our interests overseas as well. You know, this is Military Appreciation Month, and Navy Federal Credit Union wants to celebrate their members who go above and beyond. They offer member-only exclusive rates, discounts, and tools to help empower their members to help them reach their goals. Here's one of our offers in honor of Military Appreciation Month. Join and get $50 when you open a credit card. Here's the disclaimer. You got to join and open your membership savings account between May 1st and May 31st. The annual percentage yield is 0.25% for membership savings accounts, $5 minimum balance to open. You got to maintain the membership savings account to obtain the bonus. Check all this out at NavyFederal.org for full terms and conditions. Visit NavyFederal.org/celebrate to see all the Military Appreciation Month offers and other Navy Federal offers. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Thanks for everybody hanging out with us through that. We have a fantastic headline to kick this off, so let's go.
Hello, darlings. And now it's time for your favorite part of the show, our Stacking Benjamin's Headlines.
Our headline today comes from the Washington Post. This is from Michelle Singletary. And Michelle, of course, a columnist over there, their financial columnist. Michelle's got some good news, guys, for people across the nation. The IRS has $1 billion in your 2020 tax refunds, but time is running out to collect it. The window to claim it is the middle of next month, May 17th. Michelle writes, typically the IRS doesn't have to chase taxpayers to claim a refund. Like if you, no, keep my money, IRS, please keep it. She says, as soon as the filing season opens, millions of Americans submit
such
their 1040s.
Asshole.
Yeah, right. Oh, more money. What am I going to do with that to collect what they're owed? As of March 15th of this year, the average refund was $3,109, which is up 6% from the same period last year. But there are always folks who never make it to the filing part. There's so many people, OG, that haven't even filed their taxes because they know they were going to get a refund, that they don't realize that there's $1 billion sitting out there.
I was talking to a friend of a friend a couple of weeks ago, and they were talking about their kid who is 20 something years old and kind of works some odd jobs, doesn't really have a full-time, you know, full-time 40-hour week deal, but still makes some money and gets paid. And I said, well, you know, he's under the limit, so we don't really file taxes for him. And I was thinking, why wouldn't you do that? I said, oh, it's all the paperwork and stuff. I said, well, even if you're single with no exemptions, you're getting some taxes withheld from your check every paycheck. Why would you not go, even, you know, you're under the taxable limit, whatever it is, $15,000 or $13,000. If you make that, you're getting all your federal taxes back. Why wouldn't you go file your 1040 easy form? You can do it for free on the IRS website or some of these other tax preparing websites if it's a simple tax form like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, and you get your money back. Why would you not do that? And if you don't want the money, to Doug's point, he's so rich he doesn't need it. Why not just check the box that says apply it to next year? Like, you can keep rolling it if you really feel benevolent to the IRS and you're like, listen, I just want to help out the national debt. I'm going to let them hold on to my money a little longer. I don't need it. You just check the box that says apply this to next year. And then you can keep doing that for a long time.
I love this equation, though.
I don't understand why you wouldn't do it.
No, well, me neither. But well, maybe I do. I mean, if I seek to understand, to go back to the beginning of what you said, people are like, oh, but the forms. And so I think about the value of my time. And I think that is a worthy thing to think about. What is my time worth? Because you see people pick up nickels, right? Who cuts coupons anymore? We haven't talked about any coupon cutting thing in forever because you're saving...
Those are coupons, but yeah.
You're saving 30 cents, oh, 50 God. Cents. Coupons.
We could have a whole episode just on that.
Yeah.
We had John correct us on how I said Boise. Boise.
Yeah, right.
Sorry, it's Boise.
What is it, Boise?
Boise. Oh, Boise.
Did you go through puberty?
Boise.
Did you, Joe? At the library?
I pooed during my puberty. I don't know. I don't know. But yes. Sorry.
I mean, at some level, you've got to kind of weigh the cost benefit of your time. But there's some other effects there. Like, how does not file? I don't know the answer to this. How does not filing affect your reconciliation with Social Security, for example? You know, obviously, you're still getting your W-2. You're choosing not to file your tax return. Obviously, the Social Security Administration is getting it, but there's no ability for you to reconcile that to make sure that what is being reported to the Social Security Administration is really what actually happened, to make sure that those numbers match, which could affect you down the line. And God forbid you actually owe money. Now you're in a bigger world of hurt, right? Like, if you don't file taxes and you owe money, there's penalties and interest and failure to file penalties by not filing your income taxes on time. And how do you know that you're not going to owe money if you don't file?
I didn't even think about all those ROIs. I mean, the Social Security addition alone, depending on, we can't project what our work history is going to be. Hopefully we earn more than some of those people that you're talking about that are early in their career, but that adds to it. But even without that, listen to this. Nationwide, the average midpoint for the unclaimed refunds for 2020, $932. And she makes a great point here. She says, it means half of those are higher than that, right? I mean, that is the median. So half are higher. And in two states, New York and Pennsylvania, if you're listening to us and you're there, the median is a little over $1,000. So it's actually even higher. But let's say you're the median. How long, if it's your first time filling out a 1040 EZ, how long is this actually going to take?
Oh my gosh, 15 minutes.
Yeah, but let's give somebody the benefit of the doubt. Let's say it takes 2 hours. You're still at $500 an hour, OG.
Right, right. And it's not like when you and Doug had to do your tax returns the first time when it was like stone and chisel and, you know, it was really kind of archaic now.
I was like, what? How, were you there?
How did you know? You're like, how did you know? Yeah, I was in the corner the whole time.
Doritos all over.
You don't remember talking to me. It was Fritos. It was quite the party, as I recall. You clearly don't. But
I was doing it on top of a surfboard.
Yeah, with apps nowadays, you don't even have to type in your own stuff. I was talking to a client a couple of days ago about their 1099, which has... The 1099 is the thing you get when you have like all of your stock trades and it aggregates all of your gains and losses and you report those on your tax form if you have a regular non-retirement brokerage account. And I said, oh my gosh, how long did it take? Did you import it from Schwab? And he said, no, there's a code on the 1099 when you're on TurboTax. You like literally say, I got my 1099 from Schwab. Here's the code. Pew, it imports
it's
it
incredible.
You don't even have to do it. You take a picture of your W-2 with your phone. It goes, is all this info correct? And you go, yes. Bing. You get your $900 just like that. So
my scanner, I mean, this year, OG.
Maybe it's not 900.
My scanner, to your point, felt so lonely this year because of exactly what you're talking about. Because I got the stuff.
The OCR stuff of just being able to take pictures.
It was amazing.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, 2 hours, 3 hours. My gosh, if you're owed some money, go get your cash. And if you don't need it, send it to me.
Duh.
I'm going to ask the dumb question because that's the only reason you guys have me around here. Is the only reason you have money from the IRS not sent to you because you haven't completed that tax? Or is it possible that there's money out there owed to you because maybe you didn't do your taxes thoroughly enough and they only returned to you what you, like, based on how you filled out your tax form that year?
That's a really good question. Obviously, the IRS knows what your tax information should be. It's like that joke that was going around with the, you know, the IRS guy going, you know, you need to do all this stuff. I don't know how to do it. How do I know if I did it right? It's like, well, we know. Well, can you just tell me? No, you have to do it right. What if I get it wrong?
They're just testing you. Yeah.
You know, then you go to jail. Like, it's like, well, I don't know the answer to this either. I don't know whether or not they would, you know, send you extra money if they said, well, guess what? You forgot to file this. Let me put it this way. If you don't put a credit that you're entitled to, the IRS doesn't say, like, we know that you have a kid.
Right.
You didn't put the credit for the kid on here. You should get another $2,000. They're not going to do that by any stretch. But if you forget a W-2 or you forget that you had a job from, you know, January and February and forgot to include that, I think they'll send you an amended form. So they'll send you a letter in the mail. They never email and they never call. So you will never get an email from the IRS. You will never get a phone call from the IRS, period, full stop. They mail regular USPS mail, or they show up with guns at your front porch. Those are the only two interactions you can have with an IRS person.
Oh, that's a wide field goal between those two.
It is, but they don't send you an email letting you know they're coming, and they never call and say, if you send us a check for $5,000, we promise not to show up next Tuesday. They will just show up. That's how they work. But they will send you a form, Doug, to your point, and say, we think that you did this incorrectly. If you agree with our calculation, sign here and send this form back. But they won't add credits, I don't think. I mean, because you're electing that affirmative election saying, I'm entitled this because of these circumstances.
I wanted to start there because that's free money on the table, possibly for some of our stackers, or maybe the kids of some of our stackers who might have thought, you know what, it might not be worth the time. Probably is worth the time. But for all of our stackers, at one point or another, hopefully, fingers crossed, you come across a windfall. And certainly, a lot of people treat a tax refund as a windfall. Not truly a windfall. It's your money that you let the IRS hang on to. But you treat it as this time when it's money that comes out of the air and I can just blow this money. So I wanted to transition into this, which is kind of our standard operating procedure for what's our order of operations when we think about using a tax refund. Well,
new car, timeshare,
something with payments,
big screen TV,
start off. Yes. Does it have payments? Yes. No. If yes, keep going.
If yes, continue.
Can I rent a sofa with this money?
How many months of TV payments is this?
Well, and I think that's funny because that was, OG, exactly where I'm going in my order of operations in my head. If I can use this to pay down some debt, that's probably job one of what I'd do with my tax refund.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. If you've overpaid, over withheld in your taxes, it's not necessarily the government's money. It's probably your money, unless, again, back to the credit thing, in which case, you know, you should calculate that ahead of time and adjust your withholdings. But you get some money. Obviously, we want to use it for the best purposes possible. Debt pay down, if you have credit card consumer debt, which right now is averaging 24% interest, is a pretty good place, a pretty good ROI on that cash.
What about mortgage debt? Yeah, if I got a mortgage at 3.5%.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on your goals. What I like to do is any found money, and technically I would count this as found money, even though it's not really found, right? You didn't get a surprise bonus at work. You know, you didn't inherit some money from somebody. This is still your cash, but it's, you know, it's out of your budget. It's out of your cash flow. I decide in advance at the beginning of the year how I want to split up found money for the rest of the year. And I put it in three different buckets. I either save it for something in the future, I spend it on something fun today, or I use it for debt pay down, to aggressively pay down something like a mortgage. Yeah. And so the way that we think about it is split those percentages in your mind in advance. For us, we do 40% toward the mortgage pay down. We put 40% in our investing account and 20% we blow on whatever we feel like, you know, whether it's a vacation or the new microwave that we need or something, you know, like whatever we can just write a check for and be okay with. And we decide that in advance because then there's not that decision fatigue of every single time you have an extra $500 or extra $1,000 or extra tax refund of $5,200 or whatever, you've already decided in advance where that money's going to go. You get the surprise bonus in August, you close the deal and the boss says, here, good job, here's 20 grand. You don't have to like go, oh my gosh, how do I spend this? You go, oh, it's real simple, 40, 40, 20, or 50, 40, 10, or like whatever, however you want to do it for you and your family's goals. And it makes it super simple. Is it really efficient to pay off a mortgage at 3% when you could invest some money? No, it's not. It's not. But that's not my goal right now. My goal is to aggressively pay down my house, regardless of the interest rate. But I don't want to do it at the expense of other things either. I want to put all of my money on my house pay down and then be ticked off I don't have any vacation money.
Or never saved a dime for retirement.
Yeah, or wishing I would have invested some. You know, yeah. We just picked that 40-40-20 thing because that works for us. And it allows us to make the decision one time at the beginning of the year, apply it to every other found money scenario, and have no regrets. It's a tattoo I've got.
I love the idea of the 20 in there, even though it's not 100% optimized, because what I found, OG, and I don't know if your experience is the same, if you don't have this, I don't know, you know, this valve where you can have a little fun with that money, people that over-optimize end up making really dumb decisions later on. I've found that people, when they first start off with their financial plan, they get super excited and they're 100% ramen noodles. And then they make a really dumb decision because, you know, at some point you're like, oh, I'm sick of this. I need a boat. Like, I just need it. And then
I deserve.
Instead of doing something a little bit stupid with the money, you do something really, really dumb.
I just realized this is why I eat a whole sleeve of Oreos at 11 o'clock every day after I've been trying to diet and fast. By 11 o'clock, I'm like, look, I hardly ate anything all day. Give me that sleeve of Oreos.
I deserve a sleeve of Oreos today because I've been good all day. And if I go to sleep now, I'll wake up in the middle of the night. I'll be hungry. It's not good for sleep. It's not good for recovery. So I'm a fine physical specimen. So I should eat some ice cream right now.
With sugar and carbs before I go to bed. way better.
Is exactly the
hashtag
perfect
science.
Doctor recommended.
I mean, obviously you're trying to, you know, a little tongue in cheek there, Doug, but that's exactly right. That's why diets fail. That's why workout plans fail, because you go, all right, so first of the year, no sugar. You go like, all right, it's the third of the year. This sucks. And I hate broccoli. So now I'm only going to eat sugar and no broccoli and see how that does. You know, it's like, yes, I don't know. I mean, some people can pull it off.
There's a combination with that 20% OG that I kind of like, because it's appreciative, and depending on how you use it, it can be fun. Like, if there's something to upgrade your home or home maintenance thing, now nobody goes, ooh, look at the new roof. Looks exactly like the old one. Yeah. That always sucks. Or like the driveway repair that I've got coming, that's also stinks. But if there's some home maintenance thing you can do that you've maybe been putting off that will make your life better when you're around your house and make your house worth more money, I think that's a great use of money.
I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people over the last 26 years now, but over the last several years, where one of their financial goals is, you know, a house remodel, a kitchen redo, something like that, right? Hey, we've been here for 20 years. We want to paint the house. We want to refinish the floors or whatever. And how much does it cost? It's going to be $100,000, and how are we going to pay for it? We figure all that out. And then a year later, I go, hey, how'd the house remodel go? Yeah, we didn't do it.
Right.
Why? Well, that's so much money. It's like, we've figured this all out from your financial plan. You're on track for retirement. Your kids are going to college. You've done all the vacations you want. Paint the freaking house, man. Love where you are. Do your thing. And then it piles up. And it was funny, when we moved from Michigan to Dallas, we had lived in our house for 10 years. And at the request of our realtor, he said, you know what would really make this thing pop would be if you repainted everything. It'll look brand new. I mean, the house was only 10 years old to begin with, but it will really shine. We painted it. We fixed everything up. We fixed the carpet that was ripped. We did all the stuff, you know, put all this money into it. We're going, this is a pretty nice place after all. What are we doing? Why didn't we do this stuff like 5 years ago? And we could have enjoyed this. So when we moved to our house here, that was one of the things Liz and I talked about was, hey, if we don't have a pool, we're getting a pool. I don't want to be here for 10 years and be like, man, you know, it'd be great if we could save the money to get a pool, you know, like dig the hole, fill it with water. We'll figure out how to make it work in the budget. So I think that, to your point, it gives you that relief valve, but it also has a forcing mechanism. And look, it doesn't have to be 20%. You could say, I only want to invest 10% of my found money, and I only want to put 10% of my found money on my debt payoff, and I want to blow 80%. Sweet, man, you do you. I think the important thing is to make the decision once and then apply it to everything from here on out. And then, you know, after a year or two of doing that, then adjust it and see, hey, does this work for us? Are we accomplishing the things that we want to accomplish, you know, and enjoying it along the way? Because if you want to repaint, just repaint the house. It looks great when you repaint a house. I got to be honest. We did it. It was fun. It was 5 days of living in a Westin, you know, down the street from our house. Because I was like, oh, you guys are going to start right there, right? And they're like, no, that's not how we do this. We tarp everything in your house. And I was like, oh,
what?
So we don't get to go in the kitchen. He's like, kitchen? No. You don't get to go anywhere. You have to leave. You have to go. Go. Okay. So
did he also look at you in the eyes and say, I'm the captain now?
He said, now where's the safe and what's the combination? Just out of curiosity. Don't come back for a week.
And that's what I found out. He was my brother and I had no idea.
Yeah. My long lost roommate.
There's one more good use of money, I think, that is also a spend it on something rather than invest it. And that is spending it on things that would increase your income. I know people talk about, oh, gee, the side hustle and how excited they'd be to get the side hustle finally moving or do something that would increase their career prospects. Like, I consider that expense also, it can be fun, but also can be additive as well.
Yeah. I mean, again, back to fun / investing / you know, whatever. I mean, a great example of this is a vacation home that you rent out on Airbnb when you're not there or something like that. You know, you save the money up, you can turn this into a multi-use type of expense. You know, it doesn't mean that it's going to necessarily make money, but maybe it helps you break even, or maybe it covers some of the cost. You've been waiting, you've been thinking about getting into real estate investing, or you've been, to your point about the house, like trying to invest in something that's going to add some value, add some equity. That's another piece of this, I think, which is really interesting. People get so hung up on this sort of stuff. It's literally just moving money from one bucket to another. If you ran a balance sheet of your life, right, of your net worth, which is all of your assets and all of your liabilities, right, those things equal your net worth. And then you say, well, I'm going to take $20,000 out of my investment account and buy a rental property. You figured out all the math and you think it's going to cash flow even money. You're not going to make any money. You're not going to lose any money. Well, what happens? You have $20,000 less in cash and $20,000 more in real estate equity now. It's like the same outcome in your net worth. And yet we get so hung up on, you know, investing in something that is appreciative or accretive to your overall financial status. It's not as diversified, clearly, but it's the same. Kind of the same thing.
But still, it's an asset that better meets your goals.
Yeah, if it is. I mean, yeah, if you had 20 years with your kids and you're like, we should have a lake house. And then in the 19th year, you finally get one. You're going to be like, dang it. I wish I'd have done this 10 years ago. Assuming you had the money, right? It's like, just do it.
I never once met somebody who says, you know what, I should have waited longer. Never.
When it comes to investing or kind of improving the lives of the people around them. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, never. Oh, I wish I would have waited another 5 years on that decision that I procrastinated on. Doesn't do it. The regrets.
I'm sure glad I waited till I was 40 to max out my 401k.
Right. The regrets always in the other direction.
No regrets.
I love all these points. I think what we'll do is leave it right there. And you know what? We'll continue this for people that want a deeper dive in the 201, where the day after these discussions, we curate links, we continue the discussion, and if you're somebody right now that's looking at any type of windfall, I think we have a lot of great resources for you there as well. But now let's move over to the TikTok Minute. This is the part of the show where we shine a light on a TikTok creator and either show off their brilliance or maybe their air quote brilliance, which almost aircraft brilliance. Their aircraft brilliance. What that is. They're flying high today.
TikTok caters to the engineering audience, I believe.
Apparently so. Engineering something. Some of these that we've seen, holy cow, they definitely are engineering some ugliness. But let's go to OG, since we just heard Doug's voice. OG, this one going to be brilliant or air quotes brilliant?
I just read a thread on Reddit about finfluencers and how awful they are. So I'm going out on a limb. I'm going to say awful.
Wow. It is so funny, Doug, that he talks about finfluencers. And just this morning, I saw this TikTok from a big creator. And also, well, it's a little advertising. Let's listen in.
What happens if there's a stock market crash when you're in retirement or about to transition into retirement? If you lose 20%, 40% or more in a stock market crash when you want to retire, this could be devastating to your retirement plans. You may have to get a second job, work more, and delay retirement altogether. So, is there a better way to grow and protect your wealth in retirement? Absolutely. Tap Learn More and I will send you a short video that explains a better and safer way to grow and protect your wealth in retirement.
A better and safer way.
You know that guy that was on YouTube or Instagram, Thomas Crown, I think was his name.
From the affair? He's the one that had the affair?
The Thomas Crown affair? Yeah. Pierce Brosnan?
And Rene Russo. And
yeah. Was it Pierce Brosnan? Was he in that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pierce Brosnan. That was the remake.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
I mean, obviously.
Not obviously, but yes, that was a remake. That was a great movie.
It really is good.
I think his name is Thomas Crown. So he's been on Insta, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, about like he was an investment banker guy and always had like how rich people do things and how really rich people do things. Yeah. That was kind of his thing.
I know that guy.
And yeah, so you've seen him and, you know, sharp dude and whatever. And then I saw him talking freaking annuities the other day. The same sort of pitch, like, you know, the stock market, your 401k is rigged against you and it's not a safe vehicle for retirement. It's a way for you to lose money and you're never going to retire by just putting money
so bad.
Into 401k. Contact me directly and I will get you in touch with Wade how to do this. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, golly, this is, first of all, it's so hard to sell this crap when the market's up 25%. Why are you trying to sell this stuff on the market? This is so much easier to sell when the market's down 22%. Like that's the time to kind of get it out there. But
well, I don't know. This one that we just heard though is interesting because, you know, if people have been watching the past year, year and a half, and it's got to go down. It's got to go down. Like I'm starting to, as I'm reading and we're looking for new headlines, all I'm reading is doom's around the corner. Somebody's predicting when it's finally going to stop.
Some apocalypse du jour is about to happen.
It's going to happen. It is, and you just throw your dart. Absolutely. It's going to happen.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Whatever chaos you want to manifest.
Someday it's out there. It's just waiting for us.
I think the big takeaway for people, we're being snarky, but for our brand new stackers, they really don't know why we're being snarky. And it to me, OG, goes back to just a filter. When somebody leads with fear and suffering, whether the conditions of that fear and suffering, maybe we'll get into that a little bit, are valid or not, but they're like, oh, no, you know what's going to happen? It's going to be a calamity. By the way, you'll see the video on the show notes page, and we'll also have it in the 201. But when he starts talking about the market going down, you see somebody wringing their hands, and then you see a person crying. Like, they're leaning into even the video on this stuff.
Yeah.
Orphans in the gutter of a street.
Please, sir, may I have another? May I have more?
More? I hear this or your Thomas Crown thing, like, you know, I understand that physical assault is wrong, but it does make me just want to.
It makes me want to watch somebody else do it.
Like, yes.
He is going to kick your ass.
We're going to send Doug to your house and teach you that selling people this way is wrong.
And I think also a bit of realistic education. I was talking to a client about market decline in retirement, getting close to retirement. What do we do if the market goes down 20%? What if we do, whatever, and having a plan for that. So that's an important component of that. There were a lot of people, Joe, when you were an advisor in January 1st of 2008, pretty much an all-time high, everybody living the dream going, I'm retired. And then they go on a year-long cruise, and then they come back and go, wait, where did half my money go? You get unlucky with the timing of, you know, of retirement. You have to have a plan for that. I think it's helpful to define what is likely to happen. What's a normal day? You know, the stock market's doing really well right now. It's up a whole bunch since the end of October. It's up a whole bunch this year. Everybody's feeling really good. But the average inter-year peak to trough decline. So we know that over time, the stock market goes up, right? We know that the S&P averages 10% a year. So if you just kind of chart that out, you can see like, it goes. But in between those, in the year, January to December, it's like, it bounces around a lot. So there's going to be a high watermark, a low watermark, and then it's going to finish the year up 10. That's kind of an average year. The high watermark to low watermark on average is minus 14.9% in the year. So there is a period of time on average every year where you can look at your statement and go, I have this amount of money, and look at it again and see minus damn near 15%. And guess what? That's an average year for an investment account. So, you know, I think it also helps to kind of paint out and like look at what, you know, what's realistic. What am I getting myself into from an investing standpoint? Yeah, we look at all the rosy stuff and see, hey,
I'm going to average 10% a year. My doubles every 7 years and all that kind of cool stuff. But on the ride itself, if you're looking at it every single day or every single month, there's going to be some not so fun days in there, you know, if especially if you're paying attention that close.
And honestly, when you're on the rides, that's the downhills that are the fun part, right? I don't get on roller coasters for the uphills. I got on roller coasters for the downhill.
That is a great analogy. I'm going to use that. I like that.
You're welcome.
I love the downhills.
You didn't come here for the tick, 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 tick part. You came here for the,
And then you know that awesome feeling when the market's at the bottom and you lose your stomach and it's gotten in your throat? Yes.
Yes.
We got more of that for you.
Yes. It's coming.
KCOG used that in his meeting. This is what you pay me for.
This is it. This is
we're in the toilet. It's great.
This is fantastic.
There is a strategy around this. And I think this is an important point is that a lot of these lies start off with the truth. He starts with the fact that the sequence of return risk, which is what this TikTok minute's getting at, is a real thing. And if the market takes a dump on the day you decide to retire, that is a very, very risky time.
Super unlucky day.
Yes. But what's our strategy then to mitigate that risk if it's not just going and buying an annuity, OG?
Buying two annuities.
Oh my
if
God.
One is good, let's buy two. And then a big life insurance policy.
Buy two and make sure that you buy the first one up to the break point where the advisor gets paid more at the end of the first one. The
annuity salesperson.
So yeah. It's like an annuity ladder. That's what you're recommending.
Yes. Yes. You want to do an annuity ladder so that they come due every year. So the annuity sales guy has a new commission every year.
The annuity sales guy's like, I love it. I thought I hated these guys. They're
these
wonderful.
These guys are great. An annuity ladder. Why did I think of that?
You've heard of a CD ladder? This is the new thing.
This is way better.
You thought infinite banking was neat.
The biggest thing from an investment standpoint to mitigate the unlucky time. This is just bad luck, right? You can't predict the future. You retire and the market takes a crap this year. You didn't know it was coming or else you wouldn't have done it. Nobody retires at the bottom of a bear market. It doesn't happen. So the way that you mitigate this is you make sure that you have the next 2 years worth of money in cash.
Ta-da.
It's that simple. And if you want to be ultra conservative, 3 years of money in cash. I'd be happy to send people a book on this. I've got a book on it. Somebody send me an email. I'll send a book. I've got a bunch of them sitting here. I'm gonna pull the book card now, Joe. Oh, how about me? How about I'm going to send books now?
I'm going to send all these books to you and you can do it from now on.
No. I've got my own pile right here. Thanks very much.
It has nothing to do with the fact that Mrs. OG said, you got to get rid of this crap out of your office.
Yeah. Yeah. But talking about like kind of that sequence of return risk, really the only way around it is to make sure that you've got the cash savings, because if you give yourself long enough time, who cares if the market's down 40%? In the bear market, the Great Recession 2008 and 2009, you know, the S&P was down 50%. And what did it close at? Do you know? Anybody know? Closed at 600 as a low watermark. What's it at today? 5,000. We just have to give it enough time. And the way that you give it enough time is you have enough dry powder, you have enough cash to like maintain your lifestyle so that it can recover. So 2 years, 3 years of cash before you retire, invest the rest.
I love when we had Peter Maluk on, who said that the stock market's the opposite of a casino. A casino, the longer they keep you around, like you start winning, OG, they want you to play longer because they know it's just a matter of time. And he said it's exactly the opposite for the stock market. If you can just buy yourself enough time, you will win because that's the impetus that drives the economy. It's going to go up and down, but the longer you're in, the better chance that you win that game.
Absolutely.
Coming up in just a moment, we're going to take a question from a stacker who thought, you know what? I better call Saul, CINOG. But before that, Doug, I think you've got today's, can't wait to see what it is. What's today's trivia question?
Well, here you go, Joe. Hey there, stackers. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. Baseball season's in full swing, which means it's time for me to oil up my glove and volunteer to coach.
Just your glove?
Just the glove? What? I guess I could oil up with the balls, too. Probably could do that. Yeah, okay. I think they do that before they play in the major leagues. Anyway, it's my time to volunteer to coach another season of Little League. Last year, I coached the Chicken Nuggets all the way to the championships. If they give me another year at this, I'm pretty sure I can take us all the way to the Little League World Series. That would be a great thing to add to my dating profile, wouldn't it? Coached in the World Series. Gotta probably take out the words Little League, but, only because of the character limit. You understand. If you want to get technical, I actually only filled in on the final two games of last season when another coach got sick. But, you know, still.
Technicality.
If you can win an Emmy for being in like a single episode of Frasier, then you can claim a Little League World Championship after coaching only two games. Am I right? I'm right. Today's trivia question is, which athlete signed a groundbreaking baseball contract on this day in 1947? I'll be back right after I see if my baseball uniform still fits. I've been going nuts with the Thighmaster, and there's a good chance I bulked up too much. Kind of worried about it.
And now a word from our sponsors at Betterment. Do you want your money to dream big? Do you want your money to be a total self-starter? Are you annoyed that your money doesn't work hard enough? Well, don't worry. Betterment is here to help. Betterment's the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Their automated technology is built to help maximize returns, meaning when you invest with Betterment, your money can auto-adjust as you get closer to your goal, rebalance if your portfolio gets too far out of line, and your dividends are automatically reinvested. That can increase the potential for compound returns. In other words, your money's breaking a sweat while you can be breaking bread. You'll never picture your money in the same way again. Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s. The breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hey there, Stackers. I am hot dog connoisseur and championship Little League coach Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. Great news. The uniform still fits, even though I've definitely added muscle since last summer, but surprisingly, in the stomachal region. Must be those minutes of planking I've been doing. Gotta say, I look like a pro. I wouldn't be surprised if I get recruited into the minor leagues just from talking about it right here. Today's trivia question is, which athlete signed a groundbreaking contract on this day in 1947? Well, the answer? A decade before they moved to Los Angeles, the Brooklyn Dodgers, the Trolley Dodgers, as those of you old enough to know, Joe, signed superstar Jackie Robinson to the team, making him the first black player to be hired to play Major League Baseball. 2 years later, Robinson was named Most Valuable Player of the MLB. He went on to lead his team to 6 league championships and 1 World Series. At a salary of $600 per month, it was a pretty good ROI for the Dodgers.
Wow.
I know. Amazing, right? And wow. Now, back to Joe and OG.
Isn't it wild how, when you think about managers in Major League Baseball, you think of like the most out of shape people. Like you think of a Major League Baseball player, generally pretty in shape. But you know, I think of Mike Trout or...
he's a manager now?
No, I'm talking about players. Yeah, he does it all. Or speaking of betting, who's the guy whose interpreter was just caught up in
Shohei
the betting
Ohtani?
Thing?
Yes. His interpreter. Did you hear what Pete Rose said?
Yes, if I had an interpreter.
Pete Rose has got the comment of the century. I sure wish I had an interpreter back in 1971.
Oh, that's fantastic.
For people that don't know what we're talking about, you don't follow baseball, just put in betting controversy, Major League Baseball, and you'll catch up. Hey, time to shine a light on a stacker, help out a stacker who said, you know what, I better call Saul, C-Hi, N-O-G. This is the part of the show where we help somebody out. We swoop in and help them at their time of need. And today, we are going to help out stacker Nick. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Joe, OG, and that other guy. This is Nick from whatever two-star motel the military has me staying at this week. Thank you for all of your hard work and dedication to ensuring I learn absolutely nothing when I listen to your episodes. Y'all set the bar for learning the absolute least possible. I'm nearing my transition date to go from active duty service to the civilian world, so I'll be losing all those little military nuances that help our small paycheck actually be tolerable. I'm now in the high 3 retirement plan, and I've been investing in the BRS TSP to earn the 5% match during my military service. Since I expect these to be my lower earning years, I've been putting my contributions into the Roth TSP, but obviously the match is going into the traditional. I'm expecting a few low earning years as I transition from military into my civilian job, so I planned on doing a rollover of the traditional amount and converting it to Roth while my income was still low. My question is, are Roth conversions taxed only federally or also at the state level? And if taxed at the state level, can I utilize the state I claim for my military pay purposes? I've kept Texas as my state of residence for tax purposes, even though the military has PCS'd me out of Texas. But I'll also be moving to a state with income tax after my separation. Thanks. I'm looking forward to my Other Guy 24 t-shirt. Just hope I can actually remember his name when I get to the write-in section.
Wow.
This dude's brutal.
He's just, got it for you. Man. By the way, he's not wrong. Whoever that other dude is, it's running for, I can't even remember who the other people are that are running, let alone you, man. Or maybe it's not that I can't remember, it's that I don't want to know. just block it out.
Just write dude from Stacking Benjamins. That'll cover all your bases. They'll narrow it down.
I like it.
It'll be more of like a 3-prong approach. Just kind of trade off.
Nick, thank you so much for your service first. Thank you for that. And by the way, I think you may have heard, if you didn't hear, Ed Slott agreeing with exactly what you're saying, which is get into that Roth 401k. So nice job there. But let's explain to people that don't understand what he's trying to do first. What exactly is Nick trying to accomplish here? Because he used some words that maybe some of our new stackers don't know.
Well, it sounds like he's got some money that's already been taxed. So it's in the Roth in his 401k, which means it's going to grow tax deferred. And then when he takes it out in retirement, it's 100% tax free forever. So Roth is tax free forever. And then the match, or your, in this case, the government match, but if you've got a 401k, your company match at present can only go into the pre-tax side. There's some legislation that suggests that they'll allow it to go into the Roth, but there's some issues there around how the businesses would deduct that if you're getting the Roth contribution. But anyways, it's going in the pre-tax side, which means it's growing tax deferred. But when he takes that portion of his 401k out in retirement, he will pay income taxes on the full amount. So one of the strategies that exists is you can pay that tax whenever you want. You don't have to wait until retirement to pay the taxes. You can pay the taxes today if you'd prefer. And one of the strategies that we think about here is if you've got a low income year and you don't have any earned income, or you've got really low earned income, maybe you're, you know, maybe he's going back to school, for example, right? He's going to get some government benefit to go back to school, doesn't need to work because he's going to have some stipend and therefore really no income. So he can take some of his, all of it if he wanted, and move it to his Roth. Now he's got to pay taxes on that today because of the transition from the taxable side to the tax-free side. We call that a Roth conversion. You can do it in little dollar amounts or big dollar amounts or any dollar amount you want. There's no limit on how much you can do, except the limit of your balance of your account, and no limit on the time frame. So you can do a little bit every year. You can do a lot once. You can never do it. It's entirely up to you and your tax situation. So that's what he's trying to do, is figuring out, you know, how much to convert and in what years and that sort of thing. The problem is that when you do that conversion, you got to write a check for taxes. And if it's in a low tax bracket, it might be a small tax or a small check, but it's still going to be a check. And sadly, it's going to count as income for all sources, whether it's state or federal or wherever you happen to be. So if you're paying income taxes at the state level, and I should clarify and say that every state's going to be a little different. Some states obviously don't have income taxes. Texas and Florida come to mind, and there's some others. Some states only tax interest and dividends and not IRA withdrawals. So you have to know which state you're moving to, but you want to check with it. But I don't know that you can get out of it if you actually are living in one state and then pretend to claim that you live in another. That's a game I don't want to play. The best way to do this would be to actually live in the state where you know is tax advantage or do the conversion now. If he's almost out and, you know, this is gonna be a low income year, do the conversion as soon as he retires, so to speak, or as soon as he's done with his contract before you officially move to, you know, insert state wherever he's going. Uniquely for the military, of course, they can actually be living in wherever, but their actual residence is their state of residence where they're from.
Given that he spent his entire career working for the government, I have a pretty good notion that they're going to figure out where his real residence is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not for nothing. I think that military pay and probably teacher pay, honestly, should all be tax-free because of all the stuff they have to deal with. But that's a letter you have to write to your senator to get that across the plate.
Yeah.
For some reason, if you're actually fighting bad guys, that is tax-free. But if you're getting ready to fight bad guys, that's not tax-free. And if you fight bad guys, but you do it from a drone in an office somewhere, that also doesn't count. You have to actually be, you know, standing out there shielding yourself from real live bullets, which to me seems a little silly, but that's a different kind of write-in campaign we should probably organize other than the Doug 2024. So this is a great question for a CPA. Double check and make sure that the CPA signs off on all of this. But if this is going to be a low income year and you're thinking about doing the conversion, I would do it as soon as you retire, within those, a few weeks after you retire, get the money moved over. The other thing you can check, by the way, without having to wait until you're actually done, is see if the TSP allows an in-plan Roth conversion. This is becoming more popular. I'm not aware that the TSP does it, but that doesn't mean they haven't changed the rules.
Well, I like you saying this, OG, because, extending this out beyond Nick, somebody else is listening going, ooh, this might affect me, but this is for anybody listening. This is...
Yeah. So this is becoming more popular. Not every plan has it by any stretch. And what they're allowing you to do is literally do your Roth conversion within your 401k while you're still working. So you can say, I've got this pre-tax money. I'm going to do a Roth conversion on it. Works really great if all your money's pre-tax or all of your money's Roth. And then at the end of the year, you get a profit sharing bonus, of whatever, $5,000. You go, well, heck, just convert that right now. Boom. And get it over to the Roth. You got to pay some taxes on it. But if you can do it within the plan, it makes it a lot simpler. So check with the TSP, or if you want to do it on your own and you're, not a government worker, check with your plan and see if you can do what's called an in-plan Roth conversion. That's what you're looking for.
I get really excited about seeing how many companies are adding that to the plan.
You would, nerd.
It seems to be. Wow. That took a turn I didn't expect. Roundhouse.
I know. That's what makes it funny, right? Like, I made it funny, guys. Guys, I made it funny.
OG sitting at home around the dining room table. Hey, guess what Dad did today?
Yeah, I know. It's so great. I made Doug laugh and Joe laugh.
I cracked one. Oh, it was great. It happens once every 6 years. It's amazing.
I know. It's like an eclipse.
Thanks for the question, Nick. You know what? Go ahead and grab yourself a Doug 2024 t-shirt on the I almost said Flaming Pork. What is with me and just making up new Flaming phrases pork. Today?
Isn't that Flying like a
pork apparel site?
Flaming Pork, can't you get those at the bowling alley out of the chip machine?
Yes. Flaming Pork Rinds.
Yes. Flaming Pork Rinds.
Yes.
Oh.
Those are great.
Delicious.
Fantastic.
Wonderful.
Only at bowling alleys.
Yeah. StackyBenjamins.com/voicemail is the place to go. By the way, if you've got a question for us and great idea for all of you, look at your plans and see if you can do this too. And frankly, even if you can't inside plan, like OG explained, you can definitely do it outside, but check with your CPA first. If you don't have a question though about backdoor or Roth IRAs, your question is bigger. Like, I'm not doing a great job with my financial plan. OG and his team are taking new clients right now. So here's where you go. StackingBenjamins.com/OG. That leads to their calendar. And it's the first step in seeing how his team can interface with you to make better money decisions. I can't believe it. I just got back, OG, from Strategic Coach. And I can't believe the first thing our coach said, Adrian, she said, "Can you believe the first quarter's over?"
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
It felt like we just met like 3 days ago. Nope, we met in December. And now the first quarter's done. She's like, "What'd you do about it?" And nearly half the room's like,
crap.
I finished my taxes. Like, all right, major accomplishment.
Well, I've been traveling for 10 of those 12 weeks. So
in the 2 weeks I was home, I played Xbox just to, But get it moving. StackingBenjamins.com/OG. Time for us to wander out to the back porch. And very simple back porch today because, Doug, you've been going through a bunch of movie reviews and TV show reviews. We've given you a minute to talk about them. You still haven't gotten through them.
I can't imagine why we don't get through them all. I get like 4 seconds per show.
What are you talking about? We give you a full minute and you just don't make it.
You talk for 48 seconds of it.
Because you need better opinions.
I need more correct opinions. All right. You want me to just dive into this? What do you want to do?
Yeah. Let's do this. You start off with the next one on your list, and then I've got one.
So I get to do one.
Yeah. You do one, I do one.
All right. I'll tell you what. This one doesn't even count, but I will agree with a review you had several weeks ago about Poor Things.
Yes.
And not.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'd have to get into some pretty deep stuff to say why it sucked, but it didn't execute. Not even deep.
It would kind of give away the show to go into really what it's about.
I mean, yeah. And I saw what it was trying to do. I've seen lots of other very artistic, very weird kind of creative movies that really are thought provoking and make you work for it. And I like that. I like the mental workout sometimes. This just didn't. It just didn't execute well. I felt like there were about 30 minutes of that 2.5 hours that I liked.
Why don't we just spend this time on Poor Things a little bit? Because you are the second person I gave this review to and said, "I don't think you really want to see it." I think I said, "I'd love to hear your take."
You did.
With these other people, I said, "Don't go see it." And our friend Stella said, "But it won Academy Awards." And I said, "Look at all the movies that we don't like that win Academy Awards or movies that are hard." I'll say this about Poor Things. By the way, if people wonder what the hell we're talking about, this is a finance show. Is that on the back porch, we talk about things going on in the community. We share, you only have so much time for entertainment in your life. So we do a lot of reviews of what we're watching, video games we're playing, things we do, trips that we go. Yes. Here's the thing about Poor Things. I don't know if you're that far along yet, because I know you just saw it. I have enjoyed talking about that movie and what it's doing much more than I enjoyed watching.
Oh, it's super provocative. I mean, it executed the hell out of that. It'll provoke you for a lot of thoughts and a lot of discussion. So major success from that perspective. Agreed.
The use of, and I don't think this is a spoiler. This movie's about sex. There's a ton of this movie that's about sex.
I think that was unnecessary. And nobody's ever heard me say that before.
But the use of, if you ever wanted to see what Emma Stone looks like naked, and Mark Ruffalo, naked.
Yeah,
you see his butt once, I think. Okay. So if you want to see Ruffalo's butt, but if you wanted to see Emma Stone's chest, well, here it is, folks. A lot.
Many times.
A lot. Many, many, many times. And by the way, that wasn't my review. That was my spouse's review. But I'll say that sex, though, it's funny because I didn't think that it was either until I thought about it later, Doug. And that is that sex is this recurring theme. And as Bella is growing up, sex is changing for her. Yeah. Like the entire movie, the sexual experience is changing from her. So when she is early in the movie and she's much more childlike and less experienced, I love the line in the movie. She's like, "Why would we do this all the time? why would anybody do anything else but this?
Furious jumping."
Yes.
Greatest euphemism.
But then later on, it becomes manipulative and thoughtful about why she's doing it, and sex and money and sex and power. And I don't think it's unnecessary. I think it's a much bigger part of the movie than I thought it was. And because it's introduced in such a way, because I get what you're saying, but it's just
there are so many. So look, there are hundreds of movies a year that go into all of those same themes about the role sexuality plays in our lives throughout our different stages of maturation. It's a theme that's been absolutely done to death. This movie had an opportunity because we're probably going to give it away. But because of how Bella came to be as a creature, right? Like basically it's a Frankenstein story. I'm just going to say,
Sorry,
Stackers. I'm giving it away. You're probably not watching the movie at this point, unless you just want to see Emma Stone's nipples. But, Steve, don't cut that. but we had an opportunity because he, the mad scientist, Willem Dafoe, created a being. And we had a chance to explore so many other dichotomous themes in a human life beyond sexuality. It's the easiest one to go after. It just felt like it felt so cheap and it went way too far on it. We didn't need to see all of her becoming a prostitute and I just didn't need all. I would have much rather really challenged me.
Well, but then
it
goes from that. I thought the prostitute part of the movie was really interesting because of the power dynamic. And the, no, I actually did. I did. That's when I became interested. All the stuff with her and Ruffalo, and let's jump up and down again on this thing. Like, this is great. Like that part, I was like, okay, whatever. And then we got to the, and I'm like, why is this in the movie? And then I thought, okay, this is really neat. And then the part that I thought was interesting was then she has a relationship then later in the movie with a different person. And then it becomes all about power. Then it's this horrible, horrible thing. And I've really enjoyed talking about it. I thought that there was a lot there. I don't think it was done to death, but I do think that it was sandpaper. The whole time I wanted to leave the theater. In fact, Cheryl, this is one of the few movies that Cheryl during the movie said, when is it ending?
Yeah, I remember
out loud,
you saying that.
With other people in the theater, Doug, there were awesome. Other people in the theater.
I love that.
And Cheryl's like, this isn't over yet. Oh my God, make it over. It was almost like Ricky Gervais humor where you're like, I don't even want to be in this room.
I think that
because this is so uncomfortable.
The first 35, 40 minutes were hard to watch. Just from a construction of the story in the movie standpoint, I did not like the first, but not because of it was weird and, but it was just, I don't think it was done well. I thought it really got good when they got on the ship and they were
on
the boat.
By the way, one of the more beautiful films, like I do agree with them getting the costume. Did they get best costumes?
I don't know.
I think they got costumes and they got something about art. I think it was art direction they got.
That makes
sense.
If
only there were a place I could look this up, yeah. But it's not worth it. Don't see Poor Things unless you want to have a 20-minute conversation where everybody was disappointed.
A lot like sex.
Except that's more like a 2-minute.
All right. So that was the review that we weren't even supposed to do. I'll do my one review and it'll be 11 seconds. Mending the Line. You know, I'm big into fly fishing. I should love any movie that has to do with fly fishing. It's a movie made a couple years ago, just came out on Netflix. It's super formulaic. I'll piss off a lot of people because everybody in the fishing and fly fishing and outdoor world loves this movie. It's got Brian Cox in it. The movie itself was just super, like you knew exactly what was coming the whole time. I thought there were some really good acting performances. Brian Cox is amazing. And then the female lead, I don't know her name. I've seen her anywhere else before.
Again, since, if there was really a place good. For us to look this up.
But I thought she was really natural, really, it just didn't look like acting, which I think is a huge accomplishment. So those two performances were great. Saw some cool outdoor stuff. You know, its whole thing is set in Montana. Watch River Runs Through It, which is like, God, anybody who knows fly fishing just threw something at their device because I said that. But if you're looking for pretty, like just pretty outdoor fishing stuff, watch that movie. But don't Mending the Line. You've seen this, you know, it's Karate Kid with fly fishing, or it's, you know, pick an inspirational, we're going to pull somebody out of the darkest moment of their life and set them on a new path. You've seen that movie a bunch of times.
Oh, Patricia Heaton's in that movie.
Yeah, barely. She's barely in that movie. And she needs to fire her Botox person.
You heard it here first.
Her upper lip is bizarre.
That's why people listen to Stacking Benjamins right there. I have no news about our meetups. Hopefully I'll have those very soon, but for those people that haven't heard recently, I am coming to Cleveland, I'm coming to Detroit, I'm coming to Kalamazoo, Michigan. Hopefully, Kalamazoo is going to be a tough one just because of the date. It's a Friday night. Tough to get a space then, but we're trying to figure that out. I've got some help on the ground, so we'll see. A couple stackers helping me there. And then coming to Boston. But I'll have dates and everything for you soon. If you get the 201, I'll be able to send you specifically an email that tells you about all that. But otherwise, you'll hear that in future shows.
There's a 3.9% chance I can join you in the Detroit meetup.
That'd be super fun. Yeah. Detroit be fun, but not Boston. You've family in Boston.
Yeah. Get me there. I'll go to Boston.
It could be fun. Well, if I get you there, I mean, pick you up at the airport.
God, you're generous.
Absolutely.
Beyond words.
It's fantastic.
Should I do the wrap up now, Joe?
Okay. Yes, we should. Because you know what? Besides the fact that poor thing sucked, there was a bunch of stuff, I think, today on our takeaway list. And what do you think the big three are?
Here they are, Joe. First, take some advice from our headline topic. Coming into money, whether it's your tax refund, a windfall, or the lottery, begin with savings and paying down debt. And also, look for ways to use that opportunity to raise your income. After that, then go wild on vacations, depreciating assets, and throw in a party for your favorite podcasters. You know, like hypothetically. Second, take note of our TikTok minute. Is an advisor leading with fear? If so, they may not be an advisor as much as a salesperson. Buyer beware. But what's the biggest to do? I need to sponsor my own Little League team. That's the answer. I can name them, Joe's Mom's Neighbor Doug's Nuggets. It'll be great for the show when I coached them all the way to the... What? Why not?
Nope.
We're going to the World Series.
I'll explain it later, but nope.
This show is the property of SB Podcasts, LLC, copyright 2024, and is created by Joe Salcihi. Our producer is Karen Repine. Karen and Joe get help from a few of our neighborhood friends. You'll find out about our awesome team at StackingBenjamins.com, along with the show notes and how you can find us on YouTube and all the usual social media spots. Come say hello. Oh, yeah. And before I go, not only should you not take advice from these nerds, don't take advice from people you don't know. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any financial decisions, speak with a real financial advisor. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and we'll see you next time back here at the Stacking Benjamin Show.
You're still here? It's over. Go home.